Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. And we have a great word. You know, we talk about faith as that kind of thing, but faith that's something that things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrew word is what we are talking about today. We're talking about faith in God, that God will provide. He will provide what you need. He will give you double for your trouble. He will give you a hundredfold. But you have to have faith. And we're going to talk about Abraham. We're talking about his son Isaac and Ishmael and the extra kids he had with the new wife. And it's a lot going on in our word this morning. And, you know, again, we're going to have a proverb about trust. You know, we got to trust God that all things will work for our good. And that, you know, God's best for our life. You know, I could do nothing. You could do nothing. We can't do anything without God. But when God is in it, there is no limit to what we can do. So I give honor to God this morning for his wonderful word. I thank him, you know, that he has put in us faith, and our faith makes us well. Just giving a small testimony. On yesterday, I was in a lot of pain when I did the blog yesterday morning, having some issues with back spasms and pain. And I remember the word God spoke is that when you have faith, your faith will make you well. Prayed yesterday, and I had faith that I would be fine. And I can tell you one thing, God answered prayer. He answered my prayer. I woke up this morning, not a pain anywhere. Before I went to bed last night, the pain had started to go away. I went to prayer yesterday. And you got to pray over yourself the word of God. And as we get ready to open up this morning, we pray. We ask the Father, Lord God, you take control. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. I can't do anything without you. So, Lord God, I ask you to take control. Take control and give us insight. Lord God, let us see the vision. Let us hear your word. Lord, speak through me to your audience, because this is not my audience, but your audience, that they may get the word, feel the word, and live the word. And, Lord God, let this word be like a balm in Gilead, healing their souls. Healing their minds, healing their bodies, healing every part of them as you heal me. Heal them. For Lord God, we know that you are our strength. There's no other like you, Lord God. As we lift up our eyes to the hills from where our help comes from you, Father. And we thank you this morning for this gracious and wonderful word that you have left with us. That we may know that your word is true. And all we have to do is have faith and believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray, believing and trusting in you through your Son, our Savior, the Holy Ghost today, Lord God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. That this word will permeate every fiber of our being. In Jesus' name I pray. Again, amen. Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah. I am excited about this word this morning. I want to get out of line, because the way our word is structured, and for those, again, that are just joining this Moving Forward movement, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And all I can say is, it is awesome. And it gives us our scriptures for every day. And the way our scriptures are written, there is a Old Testament and New Testament word. So you have a Old Testament, then you have a Psalm, Proverb, and then a New Testament word. And it's set up that way every day, so that by the time we get to December the 31st, we will have read from Genesis to Revelations. So I'm excited. This is actually my first reading of this entire Genesis to Revelation, where we started, I believe, in late March or April in this Bible, when we finished another Bible we were reading. So God put it on my heart to do this Bible one more time again this year, to take us through the end of this year. So I'm excited. I know it's great. And I, again, thank Dr. Stanley for allowing God to use him to help us in our daily walk with God. Because the word is what through the day. You know, you can wake up with that word going into your heart, going into your mind, going into your spirit. I have to admit, when I read this word every morning with you guys, I feel better through the whole day. You know, yes, we all know that we get attacked, you know, like the pain in my back. But you know what? I didn't stop me from reading the word. And honestly, after I read the word yesterday, I started to feel better. You know, and I love that it says yesterday's memory scripture was, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, God, you know, I know that you, what did it say in verse number 12 of chapter 9 in Matthew yesterday? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. You know, I needed a physician yesterday. I was not feeling my best. And he says, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I didn't know if I did anything wrong, but I repented anyway. You know, I don't know if I said anything wrong, but I repented anyway. Because repentance is what gets us through. So if you got some pain going on, you need to repent about whatever. Just say, Lord, forgive me for anything I said, did, thought in any way that was against your divine majesty. Lord, ask you to please forgive me. Remove all sickness from my body. And Lord, give me a clear mind and a righteous spirit within me. We got to start speaking what we need and what we desire and what we want. Because if you don't speak it and you don't tell God, even though, yes, he knows, but he likes for you to call on him. He likes for you to have conversations with him. We got to talk to God. Have some time with God. You know, have a little talk with Jesus, like the psalmist used to say, tell him all about your trouble. We got to do that. Tell Jesus about our trouble. Even though he already knows, we still need to just have a conversation with God. So let's get into our word this morning. And as I said before, it is a great word today. And I'm going to tell you up front, forgive me if I pronounce a name wrong. Put it to, I just can't pronounce it, but I'm going to do my best. In the name of Jesus, I ask God to give me the name to be spoken correctly and with clarity. And the names are this. And it goes on to tell us in chapter 25 of the book of Genesis, for we know that Sarah died. And again, Sarah was of age when she died, and I believe she was probably still beautiful, you know, but she died at a ripe age. You know, how many people can say that they lived to be 127 years old? That is pretty awesome. Sarah was a wonderful woman. She loved God. She followed her husband wherever he went, she went to. And he did not want his son to marry any of the Canaanites. So he went to his brother's house and got as a wife for Isaac. So we're going to get into Rebecca's story as well as finding out about a certain couple of twins. One twin being something else and another twin not appreciating his blessings. So let's get started. And it says in chapter 25 of Genesis, verse 1, Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Midian, Midian, Eshbak, Shoah, Jokshan, and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Asherim, Leshem, Lemian, and the sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Henoch, Abadi, Eldai, all these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, and while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac, his son, to the country of the east. This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years. Can I say it again? 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zeor the Hittite, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Leorah. Now this is the genealogy of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's maidservant, bore to Abraham. And these were the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael was Nebajoth, then Kedar, Abel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Massa, Hadar, Tema, Jetur, Naphash, and Kedemah. These were the sons of Ishmael, and these were their names by their towns and their settlements, 12 princes according to their nations. These were the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. They dwelt in Havilah, as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt, as you go toward Assyria. He died in the presence of all his brethren. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, and the sister of Laban the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esau. Afterwards, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Can you imagine? You got these twins, and one trying to grab a hold of the other. Like, you are not supposed to go before me. But Esau made it out first, but Jacob was holding on. You know, it sounds like the twins of Tamar, which we'll be reading about later on, you know, had to put the little red ribbon around the hand that came out first and then went back in. And then the other twin came first, but the one with the red ribbon was the one that had the blessing, which was Perez. But we'll get into that later. But twins are something. You know, you just can't help but get all tickled because Jacob was trying his best that way. But understand, Jacob was a trickster. He was something else, as we're about to find out right now. And Esau, no faith, not understanding his blessing, is about to give it away. So this is what it says. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. Esau like, I am so hungry. You know, because we know that when you're hungry, your mind is not always working right. That's why you should never go shopping when you're hungry, because you find yourself going totally off your list. Your grocery list is already, you got everything, you know what you need, and what happens? You go in hungry and lose your mind and buy everything that's not nailed down. And then if they got the samples out, you're eating samples too. So don't go shopping hungry, family. Don't do it, because you may lose something in the birthright. I said blessing, but it's his birthright. And then it goes on, because he loses his blessing too, but this is the birthright where he gives it away, spells it, or a bowl of soup. So let's see what it says. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You don't give your birthright away. And he gave his number one spot, his birthright. He sold it for a bowl of stew and some bread. Wow. And then note what Jacob did. He made him swear about it. You know, so you got to be careful of giving vows and oaths. I swear I'm going to do this, and I swear I'm going to do that. Be careful doing that. Because you are swearing to God that you're going to do whatever it is. So you don't swear. Don't make vows. Because you never know if you can keep them or not. Don't do it. Lord, I swear if you, don't do it. Don't do it. Because you can curse yourself. But then it goes on to tell you that Esau despised his birthright because he swore to give it to his brother. Or a bowl of stew and some bread. You know, if you, that's a trivial question, that trivial night at the church, when somebody says, and what did he get? Esau got bread and stew, a lentil, for his birthright, and his sword to give it. That's the, ugh. Now let's keep it moving, because here again, history has a tendency sometimes to repeat itself. And we're getting ready to go into a repeated history of Isaac to his father, Abraham, a repeated history. And this is what it says. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in the land, and I will be with you and bless you. To you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and Gerar. And the men of the place asked about his wife. History repeats itself. And he said, she is my sister. But he was afraid to say, she is my wife, because he thought, lest the men of the place kill me for Rebecca, because she is beautiful to behold. What does that sound like? His daddy and his mama. Mama was beautiful. Daddy was afraid. Said mama was his sister. But in his dad's case, she really was his sister. But in this case, she is his cousin. But let's keep it moving, because she is beautiful to behold. Now, it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, quite obviously, she is your wife. So how could you say she is my sister? Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die on account of her. And Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? I think he probably wanted to say, what is this with your family? Your daddy did the same thing. But he didn't. He was nice. He said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might have laying with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us. So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. So he put a blessing over him. And all he had to do was talk to the king at the beginning and the outset and say, this is my wife, Rebecca. And, you know, could you please, you know, make sure that nobody bothers us, because I know she's beautiful. So it would have been done. But instead, he's going to tell a story. No, he's going to tell a lie. He was lying and said she was his sister. But at least when his dad said it, he was not lying. But Isaac was lying. And so I'm sure he had to do some repenting there. And so let's keep it moving here. That land, and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. You reap what you sow. Come on, y'all. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. But he had possessions of flock and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. And they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am," there it is, "I am, the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servant dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzzath, one of his friends, commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" But they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wife Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basmath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they were a grief of mine to Isaac and Rebekah. In other words, they were not particularly fond of this daughter-in-law, these daughter-in-laws. Because remember, Abraham sent all the way to his family to get Rebekah, because he didn't want any of these people marrying to his family. And then Esau, who really didn't give a care, he married a Hittite. He married two Hittites. You know, Basmah and Beeri, the Hittite, and Basmah, the Judith, and Basmah. You know, so he kind of went a little against the grain, and mom and dad was not pleased. But you know what? A man chooses a wife, and you got to let it go, because obviously it's meant to be for some purpose and a reason from God. So you got to let that go. We can't get upset about daughter-in-laws or son-in-laws. You just got to say, "Lord, you in charge," and leave it alone and stay out of their business. That's the one thing parents need to do, is stay out of their children's personal business with their spouses. You know, and I'm praying that when my children finally get spouses, my sons, that I can remember this word and keep my tongue behind my teeth. So as we continue in Psalms chapter 7, verses 6 through 8, and it says, "Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. So the congregation of the people shall surround you. For their sake, therefore, return on high. The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me." We got to ask God to judge us individually. We got to get out of God's seat, judging each other, judging everything. We got something to say about this, something to say about that. We need to get out of the judgment business and get into the praying business. And, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. We got too much going on in our nation. But understand, God is in control. Yes, people do awful, awful things. But understand that you reap what you sow. You sow confusion and discontent. You're going to reap confusion and discontent. If you sow, behavior that is not becoming or whatever your position may be, then you will reap that. Whatever you do, there is consequences. You know, it's like Newton's law. You know, there's equalness in everything. There's equal consequences. You know, we got to understand, for what you give out, you get back. If you sow with a kind heart and righteousness, then you will get kindness and righteousness back. If you give when nobody else sees what you do, then God sees it, and he will reward you for it. You don't have to go out and blast and put on blast everything you do. That's the only reason why I cannot stay in Facebook sometimes, is because folks got to put everything on Facebook, all their business, where they are. You know, you like calling out and telling criminals, oh, hey, by the way, I'm out of town. Come on over and rob my house, everybody. What you doing? Ooh, guess what? You know, I won the Publisher's Clearing House, and I'm a millionaire. Woo-hoo. No, I didn't, but I'm going to. That's what I'm saying. But I have not won the Publisher's Clearing House. But I'm going to do it. I believe in God for that. And you guys are like, that woman is so weird. I am, but I'm weird for Jesus, I tell you that. And Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 9 and 10. And we know we read Proverbs, our favorite. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And now we're in 9 and 10, which are just as awesome. And it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. The word has already told you, when you pay your tithe, your first fruit, you give to God before you pay any bill. God is your first bill when you get paid. Write your tithe check out. Oh, I got paid today. What is my 10% plus my offering? Oh, here it is. Write that first, and I'm going to tell you something. You will have what you need. God will give you money from out of nowhere. And you're like, where'd this come from? Come out of nowhere. Of nowhere. God provides. As Tamla Mann sings, God provides. He provides everything you need. What did he say? So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Tell me about the overflow. God will give it to you. And you're like, okay, where did this come from? Where did that come from? Okay. Okay, Lord. What am I going to do with all this? And he said, give it away. Give it away. What you can't use, give away. We got to learn how to give some things away. Because God has blessed you. When God blesses you, bless somebody else. When God gives to you, give to somebody else. Because it's only right that we bless others as God blesses us. So now let's keep it moving, because this is the word for the day. It's coming out of the book of Matthew. And for life lessons and life questions, we'll come back at the end of our scriptures and we'll go over life lessons and life questions from our study Bible. But for right now, let's keep in the scriptures, because the scripture, this scripture, is something. It every time I think about it, you know, a fellow minister preached this word, and it just did something to my spirit, because faith is that thing that I stand on. I stand on faith. Everything. I have everything I am. This ministry is, I believe, faith to some of the things for hope for and the evidence of things I've seen. I stand on faith. I drive on faith. You know, my ministry is faith. You know, faith is that word that just hit my spirit. you know, when my pastor and I talked now going on 10 years ago about a ministry for women. And she said, pray about it and God will give you the name. I was sitting in a hotel room in Chicago looking over, I don't know what the name of the park is, but it's right by Soldier Field. I think it's Millennial Park. I was just sitting out looking at the window, and I just went into prayer. And I did a lot of crying that day because I had only been a year since I had become a widow. And I was in prayer. I was crying. I was calling out to God. And he gave me faith. And it's an acronym. And I thought, wow, God. W, faith, the name of the ministry. And I just think about the goodness of God and thanking my pastor for allowing me to start this ministry. And we're still going. We're going strong. And, you know, and now she's allowing me to use the vision. Because there's so many hurting women out there. So many women out there that need to be healed, that need to be set free, that need to know about Jesus. And so if you are in Springfield, Women Faith Ministries meets at Table of Life Ministries Saturday at 4 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, we just changed our time. 11 o'clock a.m. Early in the morning. Not early, but on the Saturday day, it's kind of early. But 11 o'clock, and it's not just a table ministry. It's for any woman who is looking to know about Jesus. So throwing out that, you know, come visit us at the table where you will truly find love, peace, and joy. And I can say that because that's where God sent me, and I have found just that. So I just shout out to my pastor and thanking her for trusting in me to start this woman's ministry and thanking God that it's going to get better because I'm believing God for miracles, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. For we are daughters of the Most High. Heals our body. It's our faith that heals our finances. It's our faith that gives you everything you need and more than you could ever ask for. It's our faith. And as we go through this word, you're going to understand what I'm talking about. And the word says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, why he spoke these things. And, you know, we all understand as Jesus was speaking in Matthew, he was talking about that you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. You know, and I'm going to go back to verse 15 of chapter 9. And it says, and Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away. We're talking about fasting right now. And it says, and from then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, but that patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, break. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskin, and both are preserved. And then Jesus said, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. Faith. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Faith. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And that is the title of our lesson today. Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Now, she had gone to doctors and everybody, you name it, this poor woman had gone to. They took her money and she was still not made well. Still wasn't healed. And understand, in that day, if you had an issue of blood, you couldn't even leave your house because you were unclean. So she was actually could have gotten in a lot of trouble, but she knew with faith, if I just go and touch the hem of his garment, if I just touch, I'm going to be made well. And Jesus felt her. He felt her faith. And he said, woman, your faith, daughter. He knew who she was, daughter. Daughter, that's God speaking to us. Daughter, your faith has made you well. You got to have, no, if I call on the name of Jesus, I will be made whole. I will be made well. I will be made better. All I got to do is call on his name. And America, as a nation, we need to call on the name of Jesus. We need to speak to God, our Father, who we are supposed to trust. In God we trust. Forget political correctness. In God we trust. When you speak it, you know it, and you believe it, you don't worry about all the other stuff that can go on, because we know that the enemy is a deceiver. We know that he is a trickster. We know that he is a liar. And we know that he is the author of confusion. So we don't deal with that. We deal with the name of Jesus, and we speak it. I speak the name of Jesus over America. I speak in God we trust. And I mean it, I believe it, and I trust God that all things will work for our good when we start loving each other, being kind to each other, and realizing we're all family. We are all family. And families fight. Families get upset with each other. But we love each other. We got to love. Love and kindness, do we draw them? So Christians, you got to start being a lot more kind and a whole lot more loving. We cannot get caught up in the okey-doke of the tricks of the enemy. You know, upset, mad at somebody just because they don't look. Upset and mad at somebody because somebody said this and somebody said that. He said, she said, it's all that's going on. And we need to stop it. Stop the lies, stop the cheat, stop the foolishness. Because we are children of God. And as we continue about faith, when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, we know the wailing women having a moment. He said to them, make room for the girls, not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand. And the girl arose, and the report of this went out into all the land. Now, this is a word that always just does something to my spirit. Because you talk about faith here. Two blind men. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now, my question is this. How could they follow him blind? They followed their faith. I might not be able to see you, but I sure can see your spirit. And I'm going to follow that bright light. And Jesus said, and when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. When he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all the country. You know, when something good happens to you, you can't help it. You can't keep it to yourself. You say, can't hold water. Good, can't keep it to yourself. I just can't keep it to myself. When the Lord does something for you, you just can't keep it to yourself. They couldn't keep it to themselves. And it says, and they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees, there's always the devil in the midst, our demons by the rulers of the demons. But Jesus already told you, a nation divided against itself cannot, it will not stand. So a demon, if the demon is possessed, is throwing out demons, then the demon is throwing out and tearing up his own stuff. So we know that's not true. But the Pharisees trying to start mess, trying to cause doubt, trying to take away somebody's faith. He cast out demons by the rulers of the demons. And you want to say, just get out of here. Fake, 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 and phony. Trying to perpetrate. And they didn't go because they wanted to be saved. They was following Jesus so they could get some money. Well, who is this man doing all this stuff? He's saying he's the Son of God. Well, girl, I don't think he's the Son of God. I don't know who he is. He probably just ain't nothing but the devil casting out devils. How do you sound? Sound just as goofy and as silly. But we know that that's what goes on. Even to this day, when folks are doing well, folks don't want to praise God with them. Oh, well, you know, they just praising God. They don't believe all that stuff. They think they this, they think they that. You know what? No, they don't. They just have faith. You know, when the Lord comes in and takes away your blindness, that's faith. Because God will sometimes take your sight to give you that spiritual sight. Hallelujah. And when you got that, you got more than anybody else. Because then he gives you your physical sight back, and you see better than most. Because now not only do you see the dark, you see the light, and you see clearly what God wants you to see. You have been given a gift. These blind men were given a gift from God because they had faith. What did he say? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Son, your faith has made you well. When we believe, our faith makes us well. We as a nation must have faith that Jesus Christ, that our Father God, will cover us when we trust and believe in him through faith. All things will work for our good. Have faith. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, and we as men and women of God for the harvest, because it is time for a soul harvest for God. We got to continue to teach the word, preach the word, and give encouragement to those that are suffering, to those that are in need, that it is, I know a man, hallelujah, I know a man that can make everything all right with you. And when they say who, you say Jesus. Hallelujah. He can make all things all right. So we're going to go back to our Old Testament, chapter 25 of Genesis, life lessons. And it says, Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, faith. As many key points in scripture, God grants a childless woman a family often in response to prayer. Why saddle his people with such difficult burdens? Perhaps because brokenness is for a maximum usefulness. And I can tell you, whew, thank you, Lord. Been there, done that, been broken down, tore up from the floor up, but God. Genesis 25:34, Esau despised his birthright. In despairing his birthright, Esau proved himself profane because he considered filling his empty stomach more important than the spiritual promise of God to Abraham. Come on now. Genesis 26:5, Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. God remembered Abraham as one who obeyed him, and therefore Abraham provided his descendants with the greatest possible legacies. We have a great legacy because God knew our fathers, father, all the way back, because we are all descendants, 6 and 28. We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. When God blesses his children, sometimes even the ungodly can clearly see. Proverbs 16 and 7, when we live in a way that invites the blessing of the Lord, that blessing can spill over to our neighbors. Praise the Lord, family. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. And then I have a life question. I have some life questions. And again, thank you, Dr. Stanley, for the life lessons and the life questions. And it says this, Proverbs 3, 5 through 10 is a godly compass for your life. It does not make any difference who you are, what you do, where you live, or what your vocation is. This concise, trustworthy compass will help you find God's best for your life. The first point of this spiritual compass is centered upon your trusting in God. And I just say you got to have faith. Friends, there is most important key to finding God's best for you. You must have faith in the Lord God for every area of your life. He is omnipotent, knows all things, omnipotent, all-powerful, and he loves you perfectly, which means that he can and will arrange every circumstance of your life to work out for your best if you trust him with all your heart. It all begins with centering your trust in him. Faith. Trusting in God is having faith, because you can't see him, you can't touch him, you can feel him. But knowing that he is always there, that he is omnipotent, knows all things, and he is not omnipotent, all powerful. We have a blessing because we are children of God. And it says the second point of this spiritual compass helps you to understand God's three requirements for you. You are to rely upon God only and not upon your own wisdom and our understanding. You see, there are some things that you will never be able to understand with your limited knowledge. Therefore, you must rely upon God's profound wisdom for your life. Hallelujah. Number two, you are to respect him as your God. You should stand in awe before him, worship him, and obey him. Friend, if you do not respect and honor God, you cannot expect to be wise. You see, wisdom starts with fearing God. Come on now. He is the only one who has the authority to govern every area of your life. Yes, he gives you free will. This is me speaking. Yes, he gives you free will. But when you trust in him, when you know that he is absolute, you don't worry about everything else. And this is a third one. You are to reject evil. And so number one, you are to rely upon God only. That's it. You are to respect him as your God, and you are to reject evil. Everyone faces evil at one point or another, and you are going to be tempted to sin. God will not eliminate your temptations, trials or heartache, burdens or defeat. Rather, you must trust him to help you flee from all evil. And I'm going to just tell y'all, I love shoes. I do. And somebody asked me, how many pairs of shoes do you have? And honestly, I cannot tell you. I don't know. I just know I got shoes. I got a lot of them because I like shoes. But what I did, I'm on a fast right now, so y'all pray for me. I'm not buying shoes, clothes, or anything of that haberdashery, as you want to call it. I'm not buying anything like that. I'm buying basics, food, and that's it. I got enough clothes. I got shelter. I'm buying food, and that's about it. Like I said, the necessities of life. Because God has given me everything else. And the Lord said, I had to go on a fast. And then guess what? Every time I put on my phone, you know, go out and do something, what happens? I get an ad for a shirt, an ad for a pair of shoes, an ad for a new top, an ad for I'm like, JCPenney's, they are not my friend right now. Macy's, they are not my friend right now because I'm not going in. I'm not going into Macy's. I'm not going in to Penny's. I'm not going to be tempted. You know, you flee from temptation. And then this is the last thing. The third point of this spiritual compass is everything that God promises you. God will make your path straight. God will bring health to your body. Praise the Lord. I believe that. I know that. I felt that. God will bless you with plenty. Thanking God every day for all that you have. Give God grace. Give God praise. Lift up the name of Jesus. And then in chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 24, make room for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him because Jesus looked beyond what people could see to what God sees. They ridiculed him. Again, faith. Faith often looks ridiculous to those who don't have it. But God does what no one else can. So I say to you today, keep that faith, family. And then number 9, chapter 9, verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. By this point in the story, Jesus and his men were tired and needed a rest. But when Jesus saw the haggard masses, he couldn't help but feel compassion for them. So he continued to minister to them. He, good shepherd. And that is our word for this morning. I have one last thing, and that is a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for Sister Carolyn this morning is this. Not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some come to clear your path. Have a walk on Wednesday. Hallelujah. We got to have that faith like the woman with the issue of blood. We got to touch the hem of his garment. We got to get through the masses. We got to get through the crowd. Because understand, the Lord God will clear your path to touch the hem of his garment. And he will say, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Hallelujah. Thanking God for this word this morning. And it was an awesome word. Like I told you this morning, it was a great word. Faith, 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 and more faith. Be of good cheer, family. Because when you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, he will be with you. He will guide you. He will lead you. As Sister Carolyn said, he will open up and make your path straight. Hallelujah. Keep trusting God today. Have faith because your faith will make you well. Be blessed and know that God is with you. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent one from each other, in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a faith walk today. Know that the Lord God is with you wherever you are going and that he is making your path straight. Not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some come to clear your path. Have a walk on Wednesday. Have a walk by faith Wednesday, family, and know that God is with you. Your faith will make you well. And pray for our nation. Pray for all of those that are in power, that God will be in charge and he will lead this nation in righteousness. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. I got to go to work. I love y'all.